Hi, friends. Jessica Elise here. Just a quick note before we take you into our cast preview of The Amazing Race Season 31. The podcast you're about to hear was recorded in mid-June of 2018, a few days after the season started filming. We decided to get our first impressions of the cast committed to tape while they were still fresh and before we were in danger of getting spoiled. And then it sat on our hard drives for nearly a year until the surprise cast announcement on April 5th, when I scrambled to get it edited and into your earbuds as quickly as I could. A little disappointed to report, we don't say anything that comes across as terribly dated or no longer accurate, but I hope you'll still find it as much fun to listen to as we did recording it. New season premieres Wednesday, April 17th, and I'll be recording recap podcasts along with Rob Cesternino and Mike Bloom all season long. Can't wait! And now, on with the cast preview. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups, the place you go for all the stuff that Rob doesn't want in his feed, bringing down his numbers. My name is Jessica Elise, and we are in the middle of a very exciting time right now. We're coming to you from the distant past, where I believe Amazing Race Season 31 is on day six of filming, and we thought this is probably going to be one of those seasons that gets super duper spoiled. So my crack team of Amazing Race correspondents and I have gotten together to do our cast assessments and draft before anything meaningful happens on this race. And with that in mind, let me introduce the two guys that I really couldn't do this without them, and I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else. Mr. Mike Bloom and Mr. Dan Heaton. Gentlemen.
What are you implying by crack team, Jed?
I'm implying that anybody that listens to a multi-hour podcast about reality stars competing on yet another reality program is probably doing some form of crack.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page there. Welcome aboard the crack train, everybody.
Choo-choo.
Yes, well, I'm very excited to be here because I need to make the two of you look smarter when we draft teams, which I do very well every season. And judging by how much I don't know, I think it's going to be the same again.
Well, Dan, I love the way you draft. You draft from the heart, and your team is always the most entertaining. Especially when they all get eliminated in the first half of the season and we watch Mike run away with the victory as he's done in the past three seasons, I believe.
Well, you guys got me north of the border there. Amazing Race Canada, I am horrible with. But lightning has struck twice in that I was able to, you know, do well on both the drafts. I honestly don't know if third time's going to be the charm here because we have such a wild card season to talk about here. You know, I feel like we have so many different ways we can go with any of these teams, and the theme alone just opens up a wide world of possibilities. That's how we're going to judge this thing and how exactly we're going to judge the people that are going to be on this season therein.
Yeah, it's really such a mixed bag of experiences that are coming to this table. And one thing that it struck us as we were discussing how we were going to cover this season is that we're going to get a lot of people listening to this podcast who are Amazing Race purists and don't really listen to Survivor or Big Brother podcasts or watch the shows at all. And we're going to get some people coming in from the Survivor and or Big Brother arenas who don't know anything about Amazing Race. And so we're going to try to make this podcast something that covers everything. And for those of you who have been living under a rock, this season is going to be consisting of teams that are cast from the CBS reality universe. And so we have five teams from Amazing Race history going all the way back to early seasons, as we'll discuss. And then we have three teams each consisting of contestants from Big Brother and Survivor. And we've got a really interesting spectrum of personalities and experiences and reality show history coming together for this. And so for this particular podcast, we're going to draft our teams. And as we get to each team, we're going to give you guys a little primer on what they did in their original season. So if you didn't see every minute of every one of these things, at least one of us has seen what happened in these various seasons, and we can fill you in. And so you'll be going in ready to go with a little bit of background on these teams when the season airs. And we're not even sure at this point when it's going to air. So we could be speaking to you from 2 or 3 years in the past at this point.
Yeah, so a few things on that, a few questions I want to ask before we get into the draft proper. First, I would love to hear each of your thoughts of when you found out that this was going to be a thing, what your reaction was, because we all watch multiple CBS reality shows, but what were your initial reactions to this idea that we were sort of now mixing together all these ingredients into one sort of hopefully delicious Amazing Race 31 meal?
You know, I had an interesting thought because originally there were some rumors coming out that it was Big Brother versus Amazing Race. And me, I don't have a lot of background in Big Brother. And I was kind of like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. You know, this is going to be. And I also don't trust really the Amazing Race producers. And we'll get to it in a minute. I think they actually did a better job than I expected to put together the best all-star teams. But when I found out a little later, plus we heard a lot of different teams, you know, you heard teams like Ty and Caleb, like that would cross both. You heard people like Ian Terry and other Big Brother people that did not end up on it. But when I heard the actual cast, I kind of look at it and I'm more intrigued. Just because, one, the Amazing Race teams are so strong. I mean, you look at these teams and they're almost all teams that made the final three, some multiple times. Well, or at least, you know, in the case of fourth, multiple times. So I look at it and I go, that's interesting. But I have this weird feeling that it's not going to be that simple. And I have no idea how some of these Survivor and Big Brother teams are going to do. But I think it's a brilliant move from CBS's perspective after what happened with last season with Team Cody and the ratings. I think drawing all these fan bases together, if this works out well, could be a very popular season.
Yeah, I'm with Dan. I think I approached this concept with a lot of trepidation because the first thing we heard was it was going to be Big Brother versus Amazing Race. And then we heard there's some Survivor people in the mix. And then we heard, no, it's going to be all Big Brother. And here are the teams it's going to be. And looked at that and like, I don't really watch Big Brother, but I know some of these people made a lot of racist tweets, so I'm not really down with that. But I think Dan's absolutely right. This is an intriguing blend of personalities. And I think the producers actually approached this with the fans in mind, the fans of not just Amazing Race, but clearly with the fans of Amazing Race going quite a ways back. Like, this is going to please the diehards, I think. And it's also going to bring in people that really love all of these shows for different reasons. I think there's a team in here for everybody. And for me personally, there are at least five teams I'm super excited to see.
Right. And I understand, you know, people's sticking point with this. I feel like especially Amazing Race OG fans, they were, you know, blanching a bit last season. And I feel like they're even blanching even further this season with, you know, we have strayed from the concept of people with different relationships from different walks of life competing together. Now we're going more so for the gimmick. Why are we bringing back these people that we've seen on other shows, etc.? But admittedly, I'm speaking a little selfishly here, but this is a reality TV addict's dream come true. As someone who has been obsessed with basically these three shows for the entirety of the 21st century, I never thought this would be a possibility. There was a point in like the mid-2000s when the collective internet was saying like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if, you know, Janelle competed against Rupert, competed against Colin and Christy on some sort of season? That'll never happen. Let's just, you know, save it for our hugely over the top fan fiction. And it's actually a reality. I am beaming from ear to ear just thinking about this. This is so I'm probably coming in from a different perspective in that, you know, I have been so into all three of these shows coming in that it's just really like a great meshing of all worlds for me. It's really like screw Infinity War. This is the best crossover of all time, in my opinion.
I really, the only thing missing from this, Mike, is your dream team of Disco Stew and the Bee Guy.
I know they didn't do too well in my fan fiction. There's a little bit of a language barrier, suffice it to say. So maybe they would get a second chance here because some teams are getting quite a number of chances on the Amazing Race. Another thing that I wanted to ask, I know that Dan, you mentioned season 30. Again, we don't know this. We are recording this in the middle of June 2018. As Jess said, we have no idea when this is being released. We don't know if the season's going to be airing in the fall or if it's going to be in the early winter again. They're going to stuff it in, you know, prior to Celebrity or during Celebrity Big Brother. But do you think that they introduced two major things from season 30 in the form of the head-to-head and the temporary partner swap? Do you feel like we're going to see either one, both, or neither of those in season 31?
I think we'll see the head-to-head again, and I do not like really the way they did it just because of the weird way they did it in season 30. So if they do it again, I hope they make some tweaks to it and, you know, maybe do something more interesting, maybe not the end of the leg. I mean, I could go on for a while about that, but I think we'll see that again. And the partner swap, I'm not sure. I felt like it was kind of fun. And with this group, I mean, some of the combinations you could put together are just ridiculous. So I think they probably will do it again with kind of how they did it last time. Who knows what they're going to do? I mean, they had them dressed up as French fries last season. So, I mean, some of the things they did kind of fit more, I think, with Big Brother. So It's going to be crazy. But to echo what you said, Mike, I mean, I look at this cast and Jess, you mentioned five teams. I at least say five or six, and I'm not even really including a couple of the Big Brother teams that I don't really know, but at least five or six teams where I'm like, you could put two or three on a season and I'd be pumped. You have this many? The only thing that really makes me nervous is that somehow we're going to have some weird situation where all my favorite teams go out in the first 4 weeks.
Well, that's definitely a possibility. It's something I always think of when I think about Amazing Race, especially like when I pick my favorite teams over the course of the season. I really, so many times, it's been the worst possible outcome. Like the final three teams are the three teams I'm least excited to see there. And then the winning team is the one I'm least excited to see win. But even with all of that, I think most of the time it still ends up being a pretty entertaining season. And I'm looking at this list of cast people, and I could say honestly that I could try to come up with what I think would be the worst possible outcome and like the least interesting to me, and I still want to see that happen.
Yeah, for sure, because even some of, like, you know, there's people that have been on, you know, Rupert, for example, has been on Survivor many times. He's a little overplayed, yet seeing Rupert on The Amazing Race to me, which might not be for very long, sounds ridiculous. Just as an example, I think, you know, I kind of want to see that in a weird way. So even that is okay. And they're not one of my teams that I'm that excited to see, but to see them running around, you know, who knows where, Africa or Japan or whatever, that's like something, yeah, like you said, it's like fan fiction. It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But here we are. It's happening.
Yeah, and I think another thing that kind of makes me excited about this is looking down this list of people, how many of these contestants are friends of RHAP and how many of these people have appeared on multiple podcasts and are kind of known to the podcasting audience, and how much of a kind of meta angle are we going to get on that just because we know these people in kind of a different way?
Yeah, well, it's going to make things that much tougher for you and I, Jess. But at the same time, to that point, though, I think also a big thing that's going to be in the win column here is that these are all people who have been on reality television before, and therefore they know how to make essentially good television. I think that, you know, one of the downsides you do get with sometimes these civilian versions of The Amazing Race is sometimes people are just not the most dynamic personalities. They might have great stories, but maybe they're not exactly reality TV stars. These people, for one reason or another, stuck out in their, you know, various tenures on reality television. And so we know, I feel like, and maybe this is me, you know, hopefully I don't jinx anything, but I think we're going to get a lot of good TV out of these people because they, each and every one of them, knows how to make good TV.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we have talked about a lot on this very podcast is that when you have a team of two people on The Amazing Race, frequently one of them jumps out at you as like the more dynamic of the two, and the other one's kind of a dud and kind of there because you have to be a team of two. And I think by and large, we don't have that situation either. We have two very strong personalities on most of these teams.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And even like you mentioned, with the people that are used to the camera, we mentioned this a lot during the social media season, where like Tyler and Corey were so used to the cameras that they almost had an advantage because they weren't like freaking out about it or something. And normally that comes up when you have seasons with some people that have been on reality shows and some that haven't, like when you have Brendan and Rachel come in or something like that. But here, I don't know what's going to happen because it seems like they're all mostly starting on a level playing field in terms of being used to kind of doing these competitions in front of everything. So they're all, and I agree, it's going to be good TV. It's just going to be a question of like how this could be really chaotic. Like little fights we've seen in other seasons could be happening every week.
Yeah, and that is fun.
I think they're counting on that.
I'm hoping for that. I don't want to get into like too much ugly stuff, but I mean, considering some of this casting that took place, I do wonder if The Amazing Race is sort of poking the bear a bit to say, hey, let's reopen some of these old wounds and see what happens.
Hey, if they're just trying to bring on a Francesca for their Philip, I'm here for it because it's way better than deciding, oh, I don't like the way that season 22 turned out. I'm just going to bring back half the cast of that season for an all-star season and hope that the team I liked the best wins this time.
Oh, I was revisiting that season while looking at Leo and Jamal, who we're going to talk about. But I think our odds are being much higher. This will be better because, yeah, you look at these teams and a season could totally have drama based on one person. like one person from this group, and you have like eight people that all fit that type of personality. And while sometimes in the past I've said, oh, I like old school or whatever, but really, as the old school Amazing Race person, I still look at this and I'm like, this is going to be so entertaining. If they don't screw up the legs too bad, if they just kind of make good legs and let these people be, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Well, without doing many location spoilers, I will say I've heard the first two destinations and I'm not unhappy.
Nice. And that's like a good verified statement coming from you, considering how much of an expert you are, especially on like the travel porn aspects of Amazing Race.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for, basically.
You're there for so much more, Jess.
I guess. So one thing I'm here for is to get the draft moving. And I know that there are like three people in the world that care about how each of our individual teams are doing over the course of the season. And one of them thankfully makes beautiful graphics and posts them week by week and lets us know how we're doing with our scoring. And one of them we're going to get to in a minute. But this is really more of an entertaining way for us to introduce the teams and give you a little bit of background and kind of give our impressions on how we think these people are going to race. So with that in mind, we're going to get started on our draft. And our tradition here at the podcast is the person who came in third place in our previous season's draft is allowed to make the first pick, and then we'll do snake style after that. Mike, do you have any preference as to who goes after Dan?
So if you want to go after Dan, I'll save myself, I guess. You know, this, I'll go, you know, the third spot. I'll be the tail end of the snake and therefore the head. I don't really know how snakes work or drafts work, so hopefully that metaphor holds. But I guess, yeah, we can go in that order.
Yeah, and I always get wrong whose turn it is at least four times over the course of the podcast, so don't at me. All right, with that in mind, Dan, you go ahead and make your first pick.
You know, part of me doesn't even want to. I will, don't worry. But part of me doesn't even want to, because there's so many good options here that I hate to make the pick and then just watch all the other good options just fly right off the board. But I have to pick a team that I know will not be there when it gets back to me. And this is not based on, I've tried last season, I really tried to pick the team that was, I thought was going to win. I'm not doing that this time because, yes. You know, just in the theme of the season, it's like, sure, I can look and say, well, I think this team finished best, but it never works. It doesn't work. So I'm just going to pick the most ridiculous team that I know RHAP is pulling for. One of those ideas where you think, I don't know how this is even happening right now. I'm going to pick Eliza and Corinne. I have to.
Wow.
I sometimes back off of the team that I think is going to be, I'm going to root for and will be the most entertaining. And I have to do it. So I will start by saying that the thing I love about this most, too, is, you know, Corinne is on. She's a survivor. Both of them are survivor players. For the people that don't know, so Eliza was on twice in Guatemala and then in Micronesia. And then Corinne also was on Gabon and then came back for Karamoan a little more recently, about 10 seasons ago. But the reason I'm so excited, as you guys know, is that both of them are mainstays in many ways with RHAP. Corinne does her Corinne cast, which personally I think are great, but I find that I like it better when she's less scripted. And that's why I'm so excited by this. I mean, not, it's just that I like it when she's just reacting to things like she does on the show. So to have her there and then to have her with Eliza, who is so wonderfully like loud and determined and just so competitive, like to see those two go out there. When I saw this, I almost couldn't believe it. Someone posted a picture and I was just so happy that it actually wasn't fake, because this is going to be really exciting. Now, I'm not sure they're going to do that well. I don't think they're the first ones out, but I just have this weird feeling they're going to be so entertaining and that it's going to be crushing when they don't do well. But I can't help but pull for them. And that's why I have to pick them, because I feel like they were amazing on Survivor. But ever since then, I feel like what I'm expecting is even much higher. It's not really just based on how they were on the show.
Yeah. So a bit of background on these players. For those of you that don't watch Survivor, it's so interesting because this is the only group of players that did not play on at least one season together. As Dan said, Eliza played on seasons 9 and 16. Corinne played on 17 and 26. And this casting is so interesting to me because I feel like this show is sort of addressing the larger Survivor alumni community, which has varying degrees of closeness, but I know that Corinne and Eliza, they're on separate coasts, or were. I know Corinne recently moved to Colorado, but I feel like they connected via this thing called the TV Party app, or I don't know if they'll be using it for Amazing Race, but they basically, it's an app where you can watch a show along with somebody and sort of like chat them about it. And Eliza and Corinne were the West Coast and East Coast representatives of this app. So I'd like to think that maybe they're close outside of it, but I'd like it that the TV Party app is responsible for making this team happen. So I'll call them Team TV Party app. But yeah, I mean, I'm so excited to have these two on. To your point, Dan, I don't know if from a physical perspective, I mean, like Eliza won a few individual challenges back in her day. I don't think Corinne won any, but I feel like they're both athletic enough, especially from an endurance perspective, which I feel like is one of the main things for Amazing Race, especially when you get later on in the season, that I think they'll do at least pretty well. But man, those confessionals and especially their behavior at the U-turn board is what we're hoping to see from them there. They're both known to be very acid tongued, very gregarious, and just so biting and cutting in a really fun way that it makes me really excited to see how they're going to react, especially to some of these other teams. So I am holding out hope that they're going to do well as well.
Yeah, I'm going to co-sign all of this. This was the team when I found out it was going to be them. I think this is the team I am most excited to see out there. I feel like this is the team that's going to be the mouthpiece, saying all the things that I wish I could say. And really, these are two of the all-time best reactors to things that happen in the reality TV universe. So they're there for the commentary. They're there for the hilarity. They're maybe not there to win, but I wouldn't count them out. Especially since I think one of the underreported stories here is that Eliza Orlins is an Amazing Race super fan. She has seen many of the seasons, and I know this because I have run into Eliza at more than one TarCon. Mm. And for those of you who are new to Amazing Race fandom, TarCon is a party that it went up through season 22, I believe, and it was a finale party that happened in New York City that super fans of the show showed up at. And it would have just been a super fan party had it not been for the first season, where a group of internet fans got together to watch the show, and then the entire cast of the first season crashed their party, and then it became kind of tradition after that. And so over the years, people from the reality TV universe showed up at these parties. I think Rob himself went to one of these at one point, and at several of them, I had the opportunity to speak to Eliza about her time on Survivor and about her experiences watching The Amazing Race. And Eliza is a member of the Wine and Cheese Alliance, which frequently includes Amazing Race alumni. And so I know she knows the game, and knowledge of the game is not going to make or break you on this race, but I think it couldn't hurt. And I think it's going to be helpful. She's a very intense competitor, where Corinne maybe doesn't care about the competition so much as being entertaining on TV. But I think Corinne also understands that the longer she's out there, the more chance she'll have to say hilarious and mean things on television. And so she'll give it her all to hang in there as long as possible. And I hope personally it's a very long time.
My only concern is, you know, in this day and age of The Amazing Race, when you have something like the U-turn being used so many times, I feel like being social is something that, you know, really comes into play. These two are not necessarily known in their respective Survivor game for being friends with everybody. So my hope is they put the snark in the confessionals, and then they sort of, you know, put up the fake smiles on the race. I know Corinne was able to do that for the majority of Kara Moen, and it worked, you know, to her benefit for most of her game. So hopefully they'll continue with that. When the killer fatigue sets in, who knows? But that's the other thing as well, is that especially when you bring in Survivor players, they're used to sort of the physical toll that reality TV can have on a person. So they seem more adept maybe to some of this other stuff than the Big Brother players. So I am excited to see them regardless.
I mean, plus if you're eating and showering, it's like this is a cakewalk compared to Survivor, right?
True.
Yeah, this is good. You guys are really selling me more on them having a better chance. I like this. I mean, I wouldn't pick a team that I thought was going out first. I just, if I was going to pick, like, I have a separate winner pick that will not be them, but I'm still so thrilled to have them. So I had to have them on my team.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And, you know, to your point, Mike, about the social game, I'm looking at the board here and yeah, I'm definitely seeing people they'll clash with, but I'm also seeing a lot of people that they will get along with like a house on fire. And I think one of those teams is the team that I'm going to pick for my first round draft pick. And since it's my turn, I'll just segue out of them and into this. And there's a little bit of backstory with my pick. And it was something we were talking about. We're going to do our draft early and get it out the door before filming gets along in case one of us gets spoiled. And I'm going into my Twitter DMs the day before we're about to record this. And I see something that I exchanged with a Amazing Race alum from about a month ago. And I click on it to open it up to remind me of what it was. And it was... The son of a gun extracted a promise from me that I have to draft them in our first round if they ever come back on the show. And so I am honor bound with my first draft pick to choose Tyler and Corey of season 28 of The Amazing Race for my team.
I love this. I love this is maybe the first draft by guilt that we've experienced thus far in our short tenure here. So. Yeah, so for those of you that need a background, Tyler and Corey participated on season 28, which was the social media season. They're both YouTubers in their own right. I believe they got the most first places in their season, 5 first places, I believe. And they were going into the final leg. We were saying from both an edit perspective, because they took up a lot of stuff just because they were that entertaining. I think that they were the ones that created the whole bloaty portmanteau. But it seemed like they were the odds on favorites to win. And I think just in that final leg, it's that classic case of not exactly, you know, it's not exactly their day. And as a result, they end up finishing in third.
Yeah, it was poor leg design, I think, was what did them in more than anything, because they were very dominant racers. And I think on any other day, on any other race course, they would have steamrolled the other two teams and it wouldn't have been close. So I like their chances as racers. They're both, you know, avowed fans of the show. They're entertaining to watch. They're very funny and very personable. And so I think they'll dominate the social angle such that there is a social angle to dominate. And I think they are poised to do very, very well.
Yeah, I agree. And they're definitely one of the top contenders. And they were just so laid back. And I think that's an underrated skill in The Amazing Race is how well they like, I mean, because, you know, Tyler, obviously, especially, is very used to the cameras, but was just laid back when things didn't go their way. They found their way out of it. And I think they won, like you mentioned, like they won the last 3 legs before the finale. And the only reason they really fell apart is because they weren't tall enough for a kind of a dumb challenge where they had to do a jump. So, I mean, I look at that and I'm like, they were consistent. They're one of the best teams. I also don't feel like, I mean, they're funny, but I don't get the impression they're going to try that hard. Compared to a lot of the cast, they're not going to be trying really hard to be good TV, which I don't mean that as a slight. I just get the impression that they probably are going to come back and like the first time, they're going to probably breeze for a while. I think they're going to do very well. And I'm excited to see them, though, because I found them entertaining and I don't mind them being back at all so soon, even though it's only 3 seasons. It'll be fun to see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the teams that has gone all the way. It has completed the race and gone all the way to the final 3. So they know what it's like to run an entire season of The Amazing Race. And you feel like The Amazing Racers, I feel like, inherently have a bit of a leg up on the Big Brother and Survivor players just because this is their territory. They've done this thing before. But I feel like Tyler and Corey especially have that leg up even above some of the other Amazing Race teams because they know what it's like to be in a final leg. They know the travel and the endurance and the advanced skill set you need to approach each and every task. So I totally agree that, like, when I was looking at these teams, this is probably the one that I would say is most likely to win just based on paper. Again, there's a lot of luck. There's a lot of extraneous skills involved in The Amazing Race, but you have to feel like coming in, they've got very good odds.
I mean, I love these guys. Like Dan said, it's going to be a little more effortless with them. They don't care so much about being entertaining. They just kind of are. I think other teams might get caught up in, like, are we getting enough screen time? And it might be just enough for Tyler and Corey to breeze on past them and not even get caught up in any of that. So I'm really excited to see them back. I knew they were a lock whenever any kind of all-star situation happened, even in this sort of unorthodox realm. So, yeah, I think that's about closes the book on Tyler and Corey. And I'm a woman of my word. And now I'm going to give the floor to you, Mike.
Okay, so I've got 2 picks here in a row. You know, when I looked at this cast list, suffice it to say, I was shocked at a number of names on the list. But there was one that in my heart of hearts, I never thought would happen in Amazing Race history. And so for that reason and that reason alone, I have to pick a team from my absolute favorite season of The Amazing Race and one of my absolute favorite seasons of reality TV. Guys, Colin and Christy are back, and I'm taking them as my number one pick.
And that sound you just heard was Dan's heart breaking.
Well, here's the, I knew they wouldn't get back to me when I went to pick. And that they was so hard not to pick them. And I'll jump in here quick for the background. They were from season 5, which was an early time for The Amazing Race, when that season was kind of a transitional season for the show. It sounds funny when it was season 5 and now we're on 31. And they were a dominant team. They basically tore through the race. There were some times where their flight would land and they would be so far ahead of the other teams that it was things we hadn't really seen that much of in the first 4 seasons, was a team that was that dominant. But something I need to mention first, they won 6 legs, which is very impressive. But one of the things that was interesting about them is them along with Chip and Kim, who won the season, and the third place team, is that they all had a weird disparity where the guy in the couple did almost all the roadblocks. In this case, Colin did 9 of 10, and that caused the rule to be changed. I mentioned that just because that'll be interesting to see how it goes. Not that Christy is not a good athlete, but he was like a super powerhouse athlete, except for his one famous moment, which involving an ox, which I don't want to take all of the good stuff here from you guys, but they were a really strong team, and they're still fairly young, which I think this is smart. And it's also just so cool to see a team from that long ago.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that this was a team that they have wanted to bring back for a long time. I think they were on the board for the first All-Star season in season 11, but they couldn't do it because Christy was pregnant at the time. And now that kid's a fifth grader and they're finally getting their chance to go back. And I think that's so cool. And I think these two, by all accounts, have appeared to keep in pretty good shape. I think they've kept current with the show. They're pretty successful in life. I think all the ingredients are there for them to go very far. And I think that intensity has not cooled at all.
Yeah. So the other thing about Colin and Christy is that, you know, in the beginning when they introduced the teams in season 5, Colin says, "I'm probably the most intense person to ever be on the show." And you say, "Pshaw, you know, that's not true. We've seen people Hulk out before." But even 31 seasons in, it still might be the case. You know, they're in love with each other. But Colin had a breaking point, and that broke several times. Even before the "my ox is broken" moment, there was a moment when he was in Tanzania and, you know, a cab driver gypped him out of some money. He refused to pay the cab driver. And for the first time in Amazing Race history, he almost got arrested in the middle of a leg because the cab driver walked into the place where they were having a task and like accosted him and said, "OK, we're going down to the police station," which is absolutely crazy. I remember there's a moment in, I think, India when he's yelling about packing bricks. But of course, the thing that we all remember him for, that was the source of a switchback, that was the title of an Amazing Race book, when they were down and out, a flight put them behind going into the Philippines. They had a detour where they had to plow through this muddy field with an oxen plow. And the ox was just not working with Colin. Maybe it was distracted by the fact that he was at an 11, but he just yells, "My ox is broken. This is bullshit." And it just, a classic reality TV moment was born. Now, all that being said, like we said, they crushed season 5. They finished in first for half the legs until we got to like the frat boys in season 9, or Rachel and Dave. We hadn't seen that level of dominance before. And they were just, specifically Colin, are just fantastic reality TV villains. Now, you do say that was a while ago. They're older now. They're 38 and 40. I believe those were the ages that Chip and Kim were when they won the race in their season.
Oh, you just blew my mind, Mike.
Right? Exactly. Everything's on a sliding scale. And look, you know, the race might have changed to embrace more things. But as Jess says, I think they've kept up with it. If you've checked out their, you know, their social media, despite being busy with, you know, a family with 2 kids, they both seem like they're in pretty darn good shape. And I wonder if also being a father has calmed down some of Colin's more anger inducing tendencies. I think they can still have that intense and that competitive drive, but I really do feel like, you know, it's just like riding a bike, where I feel like once they're going to get back into the race, I feel like they're going to get back into the groove. And while it might take them a couple legs to really get their footing as to what modern Amazing Race is, I still can't believe we have this team, guys. This is a classic all-time Amazing Race team that we fought for years and years would never come back. And it also was really exciting that they're bringing back a team from the old school era as well. This shows that the show really has reverence for those old seasons. So I'm just excited for so many reasons to see these two back.
Yeah, I can't believe that production has acknowledged that any Amazing Race at all happened before season 17.
You don't know how happy this all makes me. I'm just smiling like a kid in a candy store or something. Just to talk about this is so thrilling. If they could just bring Ken and Gerard back, I would just sail off and never return. But this is wonderful. This is so great. And I think they're going to do pretty well. And I mean, Colin, I looked up his LinkedIn page on accident just by looking it up, and he's listed as an inventor, pilot, cinematographer, and entrepreneur. And his resume is ridiculous. And the guy looks thinner and more better shape than he ever was. They're going to be a force, and I think teams may not be ready for it.
All right. So with my other pick, I'll go non-Amazing Race. I want to keep my portfolio nice and diverse slightly. I'm going to go with the nice mix, the half and half of Amazing Race and non-Amazing Race. The sisters, Riley, Rachel, and Alyssa are going to be my next pick.
This is a solid pick, Mike. I think Rachel has the most cumulative reality show experience, and I think the best mixture of reality show experience. This is going to be her fifth time out on a reality show, and she went far in three of the four seasons that she's been on. I will leave it to you to fill us in on how she did on Big Brother, but on Amazing Race, I think the underreported story is what a solid racer she is, despite her tendency to wear her heart on her sleeve, as it were.
Yeah, so Rachel Riley is a crossover from Big Brother into the Amazing Race. She played on Big Brother 12 and 13, which is where she met her then boyfriend turned husband, Mr. Brendan Villegas, who she also raced with. She became a big target early on. She was kind of socially ostracized, but she sort of became known as a competition beast, and she sort of changed the vernacular of Big Brother by really bringing up the importance of competition wins. Across her two seasons, she's won HOH Head of Household six times and has won the Power of Veto twice, and she was nominated seven times across there. So it just shows that, she was very powerful, but was also seen as a bigger threat. She came back in season 13 as a returning player, tried to play more of an even-keeled game, I think benefited from the fact that she came back with Brendan and had some alumni to ally with, and as a result, made her way to the end and was able to win. Speaking towards her sister, so two seasons after Rachel played, a young woman by the name of Alyssa Slater walked into the Big Brother 15 house. Now, in Big Brother 15, there was a twist instituted early on called the MVP twist, where every week America got to vote on one of the players in the house to become the quote unquote MVP, who would have the power to secretly nominate a third person for eviction. Suffice it to say, when you have a house of 15 people and one person who is related to one of your more popular modern winners, Alyssa was very much saw herself in the MVP role. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's the only person who had the MVP role. As a result, she sort of stuck out from the beginning, but was able to blend in a bit more. She commiserated with another mom named Helen. She's a mother. Her and Rachel are both married mothers. And Alyssa had some competition prowess as well. She won Head of Household once and two Power of Vetoes. She also is a nutritionist. She does yoga. So honestly, I think what we're walking into right now are two sisters who have a good amount of reality TV experience between them, but especially a lot of athleticism and prowess, which I think goes a long way in the Amazing Race. And like you said, Jess, not only, are we talking about Rachel's reality TV experience, but Rachel has by far the most connections with everyone in this cast. And considering how I'm pretty sure those bridges have been built, I think that's going to bode well for her.
Yeah, and I agree on this one, because this is of the Big Brother teams, this is one that I would have found hard not to pick by the time it got back to me. I mean, just given, like you said, with I've seen Rachel twice on the show, and yes, she was with Brendan, but they were made the final three both times, which is not easy to do on this show. And what the little bit I saw of Alyssa, she seems to be very athletic, and I think they could be a team that of the Big Brother teams, I would think they're most likely to survive. Given my knowledge just of what I've seen from Rachel so far, I think they're going to do very well.
I mean, I would agree with all of that. And I would add, I think if you compare your two teams, Mike, you have Colin and Christy and you have Rachel, who I think a lot of people have tried to make the argument that if Rachel did not have Brendan with her, she would have been a hot mess and she would not have gone nearly as far as she had. And certainly this is our opportunity to prove or disprove that theory. And I think you could probably make a similar argument because Rachel actually had to do half the roadblocks, unlike Colin and Christy. Colin was able to do all of the roadblocks his season. Rachel didn't have that luxury. She had to pull her weight. And I think she's going to pull her weight again. And we're going to see exactly how much of a force she can be.
Yeah, and we'll see how that relationship changes as well, where I agree that I think Brendan serves as like the assertive but calm force for her to vent on. I mean, this Rachel is the one who's responsible for the infamous The Amazing Race is supposed to be fun and good moment from season 20. Alyssa, admittedly, is a much more sedated force than her sister, I would say. She seems much more of like a calm, for lack of a better term, normal person. So she might not make for the best confessionals, especially in comparison to her sister, but I feel like she serves a necessary function to sort of hopefully balance her out. But man, Jess, you just got the gears turning in my head that we need a partner swap to put Colin and Rachel on the same team.
Right, right.
That's going to be great.
You think he almost got arrested in Tanzania?
Yeah, just you wait. Though I don't know, the Amazing Race 30 partner swap didn't give us, we did not get, you know, Jessica and Brittany like we so desired. So that was a little disheartening. So hopefully we'll get some magic going on here if they make it happen.
Well, I think production is going to shake things up in a way that puts the most intense people together at some point. And whether that's Rachel and Colin, or we have some other options on the board here that I think we're going to talk about as things proceed. But I think it's a really strong pick of the picks that are left. I think you have to pick a winner out of that bunch. This is your team that you're going to pick.
And also, again, going back to her experience, I mean, she has played in some capacity with Art and JJ, the Afghanimals, and Brittany from a Big Brother perspective. And it seems like, from what I've, you know, figured out in social media, it seems like they're all on relatively good terms. So I feel like when you're getting to this idea of the U-turn, that's going to be great in their book, because once upon a time when they were like U-turned in both the season they participated in, now I feel like they at least have people that will look out for each other going to that U-turn board. And who knows, maybe if it becomes like an Amazing Race versus non-Amazing Race thing, they're going to be able to sort of straddle both sides in that perspective.
That's true. And I think we also, as long as we're comparing Colin and Rachel, I think since the last time she raced, she's also become a parent. And I think that does tend to mellow people. So what if we're getting this new, like, kind of stronger, quiet strength type Rachel? She could certainly dominate the playing field.
Yeah, I'm sure the show is hoping that's not the case, but yeah, that may be true. She may be like, okay, I'm going to focus more and we're going to win this time, because they've come pretty close, not like inches away, but they had a shot, especially in 24. I felt like they were going to take a good chance there.
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, that was bad leg design. I think 24 is one of the worst designed final legs.
No, I agree. And I am curious now, though, who you're going to pick, Jess, because I have like a few good options, but I think one of them's coming off the board right now.
I think that's safe to say. And I'm trying to think about how I can maneuver correctly to cover like the most spots on the crap table. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking here, and I think we've kind of skimmed off the top layer of contenders. And I think any of these teams has a shot on the right set of circumstances. Well, almost any set of teams here. So I'm trying to decide, do I want to go with a team that I think is going to be super entertaining? Do I want to go with a team that I think has a shot to win it all? Do I want to go with the best balance here? Or do I want to just pick the team I like the best and am most excited to see? And I think I'm going to be that team that's not at all diverse with this next pick, because I'm going with another Amazing Race team here. And I'm going with a team that I think is a perfect blend of great racers and fun to watch. And I think really this team stole our hearts when we watched them the first time out, and they're going to do it again. So give me Becca and Floyd.
Yeah, I was going to say, considering the remaining Amazing Race teams, I think when you said stole our hearts, I had a good assumption as to which one you would pick.
Art and JJ, yes. So charming. And I've been waiting for them for 11 seasons. No, Becca and Floyd, this is a team that was brought together by random chance. And when we did the draft for this season, we drafted contestants individually because we did not know who they're going to be paired with. And at the time, we were looking at the board and there were two really total oddballs out of this group of, you know, relatively physically fit people, a lot of really young, really hot people. And not to say these people are not young or hot, but Becca was very quirky and Floyd was a marching band geek. And we thought these people have the most opportunity to be the most entertaining, but there's no way they get picked in the top tier of picks. And then we found out that they were a pair and all of our dreams came true because Becca and Floyd together was magic. They got along like a house on fire. It was like they had known each other for years. They christened themselves Team Fun, and then they just proceeded to have so much fun out on the course. And they were contenders until the point where they were performing a very intense task in a hot, humid climate. And Floyd kept screwing up the task in a way that required him to repeat it over and over. And at a certain point, his body gave out and he was medically evacuated from the Amazing Race. And it was one of the more heartbreaking things we've seen on the show to date. So to have them get a second chance at this, and I think the number one red flag we might see out there is, yeah, but what if the same thing happens again? And honestly, it could, but I don't think it's going to. I think these two have learned from their mistakes, and I think they're going to come out and they're going to be in it to win it.
First off, I am so, so happy that this team is a representative of season 29. I feel like you go with a lot of teams just because I feel like season 29 was just a fantastic cast overall. But I mean, these two, is just, it's staggering how by almost random chance, by pure, you know, Becca picking Floyd and calling him Urkel, we get this wonderful team coming together. And they're still really close. They did throughout the Amazing Race 30, they did like recaps together in person. And I think that's going to bode really well here, where they're not strangers anymore. They are legitimate friends. And I feel like that's going to do even better for the way that they race together. I mean, they both are, they both just fill in each other's gaps really well. Floyd's great at the music task. Becca is heavily jacked from an upper body perspective. There was like even a rock climbing task that she kicked butt on, you know, back in season 29. And they were really good with each other as well. There was only one moment when Floyd lost his passport and it looked like Becca was going to shove him through a wall, but then they found it and they were okay. Like Jess said, you know, they got like two first places. I think they were the only team ever to not use an express pass. And to not be like John and Jessica and not stupidly not use it when you know you're in last place anyway. So they, I think they're definitely contenders. If one of you had picked either Colin and Christy or Rich and Alyssa, they would have been who I would have taken. And I'm just excited to see more Team Fun. I'm ready to bring out the fun meter again and set it to the highest level possible for as long as possible.
They were my number two on my board as far as what to pick, but I knew that they weren't going to get back to me, but they almost did. I was so close, but I had a feeling, Jess, this is who you're going to pick. I just, you know, it's one of those things where you think on paper, like something like Team Fun and the way how quirky they are, it could totally be painful, but it's not at all. It's so endearing. And we knew pretty much they would likely be back on the show. And it's great to have them back. Like you guys said, only two seasons away, and I'm still pumped. I feel like we, because they went out fifth, it's almost like we didn't get to see the whole thing. Like we wanted to see them the whole season. And like, you know, Becca is very athletic. She can beatbox, which, I mean, of course they're going to have a beatbox challenge. That seems normal, right?
Yeah, bring back the French rapping challenge that they had in season, what was it, like 25?
Yeah, they'd have to call it Love Five Hole.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's going to be great. I hope they do well. I think they bring a fun vibe to the season. And it's cool. It's cool to see them. And that's what I like about this cast. It's not like it's just them and a bunch of teams. They're one of like a bunch of teams that I'm excited to see. And I love their attitude. And I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's about all we have to say about Becca and Floyd. I think Amazing Race teams have an advantage here over and above the fact that they have all been on Amazing Race before. And I think that's just that they've had this working relationship together. And even Becca and Floyd, who were strangers before their season, there's a dynamic between the two of them that I think will really come into play as the season progresses. I think they work so well together, and teamwork is such a huge piece of this competition that I think other teams could fall apart, especially if the other teams are not people that have played a reality game together.
Yeah, that's true. And some of their, you know, relationships, they might span maybe more time than Becca and Floyd, obviously. But like you said, this is more of a pressure cooker where we have seen even some of the strongest relationships crumble or modify because of what The Amazing Race provides. So considering that they've run the race together before and sort of know how each other reacts in this specific situation is going to bode well for them.
And conversely, we've also seen a lot of teams on this show where the team members do not know each other that well, except that the only thing they have in common is their reality TV careers. I mean, that worked very well for Jessica and Cody. And, you know, going back to season 11, I think we have to give it up to that team because they really had nothing in common apart from having been on The Amazing Race for 5 seconds together. And it worked to their advantage in a huge way. So I think having Amazing Race at the core of their relationship could be a huge strength for Becca and Floyd.
All right, Dan, you said that a bunch of picks have been taken off the board that you knew were going to get back to you. Do you have any like contingency plans set up of who you're going to pick next? I mean, and you also have, you're going to be filling out your team here because you have your two picks right in a row.
No, I knew what I was going to do after you made your last pick of Rachel and Alyssa, because I had three teams and they were all Amazing Race teams that I was going to pick two from, because while I love Chris and Brett, I can't have two teams from Survivor. I just don't think the Survivor teams are going to do that well. So I'm going to stick with the Amazing Race and fill it out with two teams that are very good racers that neither one I'm like so excited to see back, particularly the second one I'll pick. But I think they're going to be strong racers, and I actually think the team I'm going to pick now has a really good chance to win. And I didn't think I would want to pick this team, but I will. And it is the Afghanimals, Leo and Jamal, who third time on the show. I'm not a huge fan of having a team for the third time, but they finished fourth both times. They won several legs. The second time, it seemed like they were more focused on doing the race well rather than being over the top for TV. But I feel like some of these Amazing Race teams that have been on the show a lot of episodes and have been through a lot of different things, they're going to have an advantage. And so picking in this spot, I feel like a team like Leo and Jamal is probably going to be, they're still going to want to be crazy and get their screen time, but I think they're going to be solid racers. They're one of those teams that I think is going to hang out in that third, fourth, fifth, sixth range. And if they can get luckier, because they got knocked out in the last episode before the finale both times, I think they have a good chance to make the end after the top tier. And they're, neither one is super like amazingly athletic or super at anything, but they're both very competent and they usually don't fall apart. So I don't know if you guys agree, but I feel like they were solid in their two seasons. I think we just got overkill because it was back to back, basically.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. I think you're right. The first time they came out, they were really focused on being the entertainment factor. And so we got a lot of them talking to the camera and mugging and trying to get into showmances. And really, they were a little bit forced. But when they calmed down and they got comfortable and they came back, I think the second time we really saw them put their heads down and race. And they did extremely well. And you saw a lot of their storyline was just them not insinuating themselves into other people's drama, which I think with this bunch, that's going to be a huge strength.
Yeah, because in their first season, I mean, they were sort of known as the schemers just because it seemed like they were constantly trying to work people. And, you know, when you have more hot-headed people like Marie walking around, you know that that's not necessarily gonna bode well for you. So, yeah, it was so interesting to sort of see a tale of their two respective games where I am glad that they sort of learned from the first time out, because as a result of them sort of focusing on maybe creating big TV moments, they were pretty damn careless in Amazing Race 23. I was watching some, you know, like best of clips of the Afghanimals, and you see things like them getting lost or them, you know, screwing up tasks because they, I think it was in the I forget what they're the task where they're like going through the rice paddy and they can't find the thing that they keep walking past, or, you know, Leo finishing a roadblock and he insists on like celebrating by taking a couple laps around instead of immediately leaving, you know, like, and they also both ran a little hot with each other. I mean, I think they're cousins, but they basically treat each other like brothers. So as a result, they do get a bit into it with each other. But, you know, it's been like 5 years since then. I know Jamal has gotten married. I think Leo has like started up several businesses. So I wonder if that sort of like impetuous young energy has sort of cooled down. And I do agree that if their Amazing Race 24 game is going to be any indication, I think that they're a solid mid-card team. So I think this was a perfect place to pick them. And I do think under the right set of circumstances, they can once again go really far. I mean, it would be such poetic justice, but so crushing at the same time to watch them go out and forth once again. But I mean, that would just be a fantastic ploy by the Amazing Race gods as well.
It could happen. I see it. They just don't have that edge. And this is one of those picks where we're past kind of the group. I mean, yes, there's one team I really like from Survivor, but we're past the group of racers where I'm like, I like them and they're going to win. Now I'm kind of in that. Do I pick the team that I want that I like the most? I did that originally. Or do I go with kind of the team that they're OK? They're not my least favorite team in this group. But also, I don't know that much about the Big Brother cast members. So I almost feel like I have to kind of go to the Amazing Race teams to be consistent here. So I can make my next pick unless we want to talk more about the Afghanimals, or should I move on?
We've said everything that we can say about the Afghanimals, I think.
Already before this podcast. All right. So the next one's tough because this is a team of all the Amazing Race teams where I'm not particularly that excited to see them. I mean, they were on season 20. They were very good. Them and Dave and Rachel were winning most legs. And it was this kind of very intense fight. They didn't get along with Rachel, you know, not Rachel, Dave and Rachel, Brandon and Rachel. And I think JJ had a bit of a personality. I don't remember Art very much at all. They really fell apart in the last task where Art couldn't sled down a hill. But I look at them and I'm like, okay, well, I don't have any more pick. I have to pick these guys because they're a little bit older. It's been a while, but they're intense. They're competitors. They did very well the first time. I don't really enjoy picking them, but I feel like if I'm going to pick based on how I think teams will do, I think they have a good chance of still doing very well. I don't know. I pick Art and JJ.
Yeah, well, I mean, what can you say about a team that's brought on basically to throw a wrench into the game of another team? This is why these guys are here. They are the Francesca to Rachel Riley's Philip, are they not?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you could also make an argument for like bringing them back. Like Dan said, they did pretty darn well in season 20. I don't think they ever finished below like fourth place. They might have one of the highest averages for an Amazing Race team ever in the US version. Like, they were very competent, so I could see a reason to bring them back, but it is interesting that you bring them back in the same season that you bring back Rachel Riley.
They do not get cast if Rachel Riley is not in this cast.
Yeah, and I think the show does this. They did this at season 11. I mean, they were strong, but you had Robin Amber and Chenna and Joyce, and the show made a point to be like, these rivals are back. Those teams didn't have fights. Like this, I rewatched that. It was kind of also with Vanessa and Ralph, but that airport fight whole scene today. And there's another Matt chat where JJ just keeps talking about how much they hate Brendan and Rachel. I mean, they're expecting something here. Who knows if they'll get it, but that has to be part of it.
Yeah, they are a very, I wouldn't say a conflict heavy team, but I feel like they speak their mind. So these are two Border Patrol agents, which I feel like also bringing them back since, you know, considering recent news brings about some interesting conversations, to say the least. But aside from that, they were on season 20. They, you know, to Dan's point, I think they finished like first three legs in a row and they did like a pretty solid job. But they definitely got into it a bit with other teams. I remember that like they had decided to make a plan with this team, Dave and Rachel, to say, OK, we're going to U-turn Brentchel as soon as we touch down. Dave and Rachel decide not to do it, and they're pretty livid about it. And they pretty much hold that vendetta for the rest of the race, saying that, like, you essentially broke a promise to us. So they were feuding with Dave and Rachel. They were feuding with Brentchel in the aforementioned conversation that Dan talked about. They were feuding with Neri and Jamie, who were the cops masquerading as teachers. So I feel like these guys are totally willing to speak their minds and call things as they see them. Which might not bode well necessarily for them. It'll be interesting to see how they mix with some of these other teams, but I don't want to be ageist here, but they also are both pushing 50. So I do unfortunately feel like that might be something held against them as well. I do not know if they'll be able to keep up, you know, what at this point, like 6 years after they competed on the race.
I think I agree with that. It's been way too long since they've been on in the past, and there's not enough there. I think everybody else has a fair amount of competition experience. I think with the exception of Colin and Christy, everybody else on this board has been out there pretty recently. And I think it may not be fresh in their minds. They might not be ready to hit the ground running in a way that a lot of these other teams are. And when you're that much older, it makes less of a difference if you were 23 when you ran it the first time and now you're in your 30s. They were one of the older teams on the board the first time they were out, and that was many years ago. So if they've kept up, and, you know, I always like to see the older teams bring their A game, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I don't see these guys going all the way.
Yeah, no, I think I'll change my mind. I'm picking Janelle and Brittany. Forget about it. No.
Too late.
No, I forget Art, actually. Yeah, now that more that I think about it, I think he's a bit older than JJ. But I just, for me, I look at the Amazing Race teams and I think, having done the show, but again, like you said, it's 6 years ago, so I don't know how much it matters. But that they did so well then, I feel like they could do well now. But yeah. Again, it might just be me not knowing the Big Brother teams as well and possibly missing a opportunity to pick a stronger team.
Yeah, I mean, you could say I made the same argument with Colin and Christy, right? Like, you hope that they did such a dominant time the first time around that it'll be just like riding a bike. So I guess we'll see if both these times that really holds true.
Yeah, here's hoping. And I guess it's kind of, it's not great to make that argument for them and not make it for Colin and Christy. I think in both of those cases, this is the biggest potential stumbling block that I see for them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, I'm curious to see now, Jess, if you're going to go Survivor here or Big Brother.
Well, here's the thing, Dan. We've got four teams left on the board. We have, of the Big Brother teams, there's one team that I really don't know much about at all, and I'll leave it to Mike to decide if that's a good pick or not. There's a team that is from a season I watched, and really, I didn't like anybody I watched on that season. And then we've got two Survivor teams, one of which we've seen a lot of, and I don't think any of us are harboring any illusions about their potential to do well on The Amazing Race. And then we've got one team left, which is a very solid pick from a sentimental standpoint. I'm going to go with Chris Hammonds and Brett LaBelle from Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. Great friends of the Rob Has a Podcast universe, entertaining guys, unlikely friends who connected hard during their season of Survivor. And I think as we've gotten to know Brett, especially through his many podcasting experiences with Rob, we've learned that we didn't get to see half of what these two are capable of as a comedy duo. So for that reason, I'm picking them for my last pick.
I think that's a really fun pick. I mean, not even fun to overshadow Team Fun, but they are hysterical together, in my opinion. So for those of you that don't know, Brett and Chris competed on a season together called Millennials versus Gen X. They both represented the Gen X tribe. I believe right now, I think Brett is like mid-40s. I think Chris is actually at 40, but Brett is a cop and Chris is a lawyer. Chris's trajectory is that he actually started out as like one of the big power players. The guy is huge. He used to be like, a linebacker for Oklahoma State University. And he sort of got blindsided in the middle of the merge because he was drawn a little bit too much heat. Brett is a cop who masqueraded as a funeral director and had, in my opinion, one of the more touching scenes in modern Survivor history, where he decides to come out to the only other LGBTQ person on the island over a reward. And it's a really interesting moment where they sort of bridge the generations, where like Brett is from this cop community where back in the day, we weren't forthright about those things. And like Jess said, you know, Brett was maybe a little more under the radar in Millennials versus Gen X, but he has proven afterwards in his various appearances on Rob Has a Podcast that not only is he willing to, you know, go to the end of the earth for RHAP, the dude is just hysterical, in my opinion, especially if you get some beers in him. I don't know if we're going to get like a Gus from season 6 scenario where he's consistently chasing after beers on a task, but I hope so. I'm intrigued to hear from you, Dan, what you think their chances are as an Amazing Race team.
Yeah, they would have been my sentimental choice, and I probably should have taken them because then I would have really felt good about my team in terms of rooting for them more. Not even much as about how well they'll do. I just wonder, because I think, I mean, Chris looks like you see these former athletes or current athletes like football players. And even we had the NBA team last season with Cedric and Sean. And I kind of put Chris in that mold where you look at the guy and he's really strong, but teams that Brett, you know, is a big guy too. He's not, you know, teams like that, I feel like don't always do that well in the Amazing Race. And not, it's so I sentimentally want to pull for them because I agree, totally agree. They're both hilarious. Like I didn't give Brett, I thought was very funny, especially when he got very drunk and jumped in the pool on Survivor. But in general, we didn't see as much because, you know, there was a lot of other big characters that season. It was a fun season. So I would love to see them go far. And I don't know. They could surprise me. I just part of me looks at the Amazing Race and thinks this might not be the best thing for them. And that's the only reason I didn't pick them. But it's so hard when you're looking at people from Survivor and Big Brother and everything. Who knows? You know, they could totally surprise us. I just watched the second season of The Amazing Race Australia where the goofy cops did so well. So you never know. They kind of are like that. It's they could do well. I just not sure that they're I look at them physically and they seem like they might not fit The Amazing Race as well. But I would love to see it.
Yeah, well, they bring some variety, at least. I think in the case of like your former NBA players or your former NFL players who come in and they're both like super jacked and super huge, I think they bring a lot of the same strengths. And conversely, like they don't fill in any of the gaps on weaknesses. And I think Chris and Brett are a little more balanced than that. So I think they have that going for them. But yeah, I don't think I necessarily think this team is going to be real contenders to win. But I'm so excited to see them here. And yes. it feels so gratifying to us in the podcast community because we know what these guys are capable of. And we're so excited to share it with the rest of America.
Yeah, I'm going to make a bold prediction here and say for the first time ever, Rob is going to have to do long-term Amazing Race retrospectives after this season. Between Brett and Chris and Eliza and Corinne competing, like it's we need stories because I just cannot wait for the car scenes with Brett and Chris where they're constantly shooting the shit back and forth to each other. It's almost going to be like an old school Kevin and Drew vibe is what I'm predicting and I'm hopefully manifesting right now.
Let's hope they do a little bit better than Kevin and Drew 2.0.
Yeah, well, 2.0. Hopefully Brett doesn't drag Chris along, tying a rope to him by the car. That would be a we don't want to see that happen.
And I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled, too. I have to say that when I look at who they pulled from Survivor, I mean, two of the three teams, I'm just like, this is amazing. And I said it earlier with Eliza and Corinne. Good job casting. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sort of on the same line with Eliza and Corinne, this is one that I feel like peaks more into not necessarily what happened on the show, but off the show, where again, we really see this relationship get fleshed out in a really playful way on podcasts or with them interacting with each other that we didn't really see on the show. So it's a cool way for casting to sort of embrace what happens when the cameras are off. But sort of now we get an ability to see that relationship represented in a different set of circumstances.
Yeah. And, you know, we joke around about how clearly casting was thinking about us personally when they made this cast. But, you know, it's not crazy to think that RHAP played a little bit of a role in getting some of these names out there.
We just pat ourselves on the back there.
I think credit should go to the three of us personally. Yes. So if the season turns out to be great, we want a cut of that. So. Get at us, CBS. And also to the point of post-mortem long form interviews, I'll take a piece of that as well. If, you know, Rob is busy, whenever this airs, if Rob is busy getting his children ready for college, I'll jump on that grenade for him.
You won't be getting your child away ready for college by the time this thing ends up airing. Who knows?
I'll make him defer a year.
Just for this, mommy needs to be able to interview Colin and Christy. Okay. I mean, I have the last pick here. I'm not going to try to build up like it's a hard decision. I am so grateful inside that neither one of you know Big Brother enough to pick this team. Look, I have no idea how they're going to do on the race, but I am praying that Janelle and Brittany are on there long enough to give us the fantastic TV that they bring to Big Brother. That is going to be the pick to round out my fabulous team of individuals.
So tell us about this, Mike.
Okay, so Janelle, I feel like you guys might even know the name Janelle because Janelle was essentially the Rupert or Stephanie LaGrossa of Big Brother at one point in time. She competed on season 6 where from the beginning, you know, the house was very clearly divided and she found herself in an alliance that was sort of on the defensive, you know, in the middle portion of the game. And as a result, she really got on the favor with America. She became one of the most popular house guests in history. There was an America's Choice vote every week that she won and the other people didn't, and they were very, very angry about that. She was in a slam dunk for the very next season, which was All Stars. There, she set the record for the number of wins. I believe she won something along the line of, I think, like 9 competitions in the course of a Big Brother season, which is absolutely bananas. Both times, much like the Afghanimals, she makes it all the way to the final 3 and loses the final competition and ends up getting eliminated. But she becomes this giant, massive fan favorite for the audience. Like, literally, people were rabid. I was a rabid stan of Janelle back in the day, to the point where people, much like the other person that we're going to be talking about later on, they were throwing her money. She was the first ever recipient of the America's Favorite Prize. And another recipient of the America's Favorite Prize was someone by the name of Brittany Haynes, who came in season 12. Now, Brittany is a little bit of, she's smaller stature, but she has the mouth to back it up. She is by far one of my favorite reality TV confessional givers across the board. She is sassy. She is playful. She is snarky. I encourage anyone, even if you don't watch Big Brother, to just look up some clips of Brittany in the diary room. They are absolutely incredible. And that's the reason why she ended up winning the fan favorite. She makes it all the way to 4th place. Essentially, Big Brother 12 had this secret alliance of guys going on the entire time. And she was basically strung along until they got to the point where they said, yeah, we're going to go to the final 3 without you. Both Brittany and Janelle come back in season 14, where they were coaches for the first few weeks of the game, along with 2 other alumni. So they were sort of living there in the house together. They eventually enter the competition. Janelle goes out almost immediately because she is that big of a threat. Brittany ends up making it mid-jury and goes out in one of the biggest reality TV moves ever, Dan's Funeral, featuring Dan Gieseling. I won't spoil exactly what that entails, but it is epic in every sense of the word. These are 2 Big Brother legends, and not only are they on The Amazing Race, they are on a team together. Now, that being said, Janelle is a competition beast, but Big Brother competitions, which take place in a backyard, might not necessarily translate to all the stuff that's going on in The Amazing Race. And Brittany, again, she's a little bit of a smaller girl. I don't know if, you know, we get to the classic Ascender Challenge. I don't know if she'll be able to haul herself up that mountain, as an example, but they are just 2 fantastic personalities that I want to see them survive as long as possible, because they're going to make for incredible television, in my opinion.
Okay, so I have a question for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the reality show resumes of all of these various contestants, and I make a note that Brittany first competed on Big Brother 12, and Rachel Riley also competed on Big Brother 12. Is this one of those cases of someone being cast because they think that this person's going to fight with Rachel?
No, even though she might have fought a little bit with Rachel, they very clearly made up. I mean, that was nearly 8 years ago at this point. You know, I think that Brittany might have attended, you know, Brendan and Rachel's wedding. Also, they're both moms. I think Brittany is a mom of 3. I think Brittany and Janelle might both be moms of 3. So again, that might also speak towards the athleticism factor of it. You know, I don't know how much, I think Janelle's like a realtor and Brittany, I forget what she works at, but I don't know if they're necessarily like, you know, they're understandably focusing more on family than like getting into, you know, peak reality TV show condition. But I think that from a relationship perspective, Brittany and Rachel are absolutely cool right now. So I don't think we're going to get like Art and JJ-esque fireworks out of her at all.
Well, this will be interesting. I almost picked them just because I read a little bit about Janelle and how good she was at challenges. So now I'm feeling like I should have, but I'm excited. I'm almost more excited for you, Mike, as a Big Brother fan. You know, it would be like me as a Survivor fan if I got to have Rupert on my team, you know, but
you had that choice, Dan. You had that choice.
But then I know Rob really wanted him on his team, so I didn't want to do that. But no, this is exciting. I'm excited to kind of meet some of these characters or, you know, people from Big Brother, because I don't know much about them. So if they do well, they're going to become very familiar really quickly.
Yeah. And I think we've had a great opportunity to get to know some Big Brother people over the years as they've moved on to The Amazing Race. And I think in most cases, it's paid off okay. You know, there have been a couple of cases where maybe we would have wanted to see a little bit less of them. But I would even make the argument that Big Brother contestants on Amazing Race has paid more dividends than Survivor contestants on The Amazing Race.
I would definitely agree with that. Rob and Amber probably being the large exception. But yeah, usually if you're comparing the 2 shows, Big Brother just translates over better for some reason. And if you're looking at the age thing as well, you know, Brittany's only 30 and Janelle's 38. So they're like, you know, they're in the same age range as Cullen and Christy, who we talked accolades up beforehand. So I am, again, just lighting all my prayer candles in the hopes that these two make it at least, you know, pretty far into the competition, just because it's such a surreal pairing to me that the fact that it actually happened, I want that reality to play across my screen for as long as possible, selfishly.
This is like the Eliza and Corinne of Big Brother almost.
Yeah, I would say so. In that, you know, they've crossed paths a little bit when they competed on the same season together, but these are, again, two big memorable personalities from the game. So the fact that they're putting the two of them together and having them race together, I mean, the female teams this season in particular are pretty damn kick ass.
It seems like on paper, these are teams that are going to do very well. We don't have a Team Miami Real Estate, and I hate to keep using them as the punching bag because their chances are one of them might still care about the show enough to listen to our podcast. But there are teams that come on the show that are clearly there because they needed some blonde people to wear pink jackets. And then there are teams like the three female teams that we have here.
Yes, Eliza and Corinne are wearing pink, but I forget what's written on their t-shirts, but it's definitely not not Ice Kababes fair.
Oh, please. Yeah, so I guess then that leaves the last two with for Team Rob. I guess, Mike, I mean, do you want to talk about Nicole and Victor, who I know that Nicole won Big Brother, and that is about it. And Victor is her boyfriend and was on the show. So I'd love to learn a little more, though.
Actually, I would like to hear from Jess, because Jess, you said that this is one of the rare Big Brother seasons that you watched all the way through. So I would love to get your opinion as someone who doesn't usually watch a lot of the show. Your thoughts on, A, you know, filling in the background as to what Victor and Nicole were doing on that season and how you think it might translate to The Amazing Race.
All right. Well, it is now coming up on 2 years ago that this all happened, but there was a summer of my life where I was heavily pregnant and there was a lot of TV on over the summer, and the website that I had been writing Survivor and Amazing Race recaps for, previously.tv, had a lot of people going on vacation, and every time somebody went on vacation, they would come to me and ask if I could fill in on their beat. And so I covered a lot of So You Think You Can Dance, covered two episodes of Fuller House. I covered an episode of Girl Meets World. I did the Kardashians, and then I did a whole chunk of Big Brother, and I wouldn't have done it except that I liked writing recaps and I was making some bank, and I, you know, I had a new mouth to feed coming up. So I did it, and I'm familiar enough with the mechanics of Big Brother that it was easy to dip in and out over the course of the season, and I ended up watching most of it. And Nicole was a two-time player who had gone very far in her first season, and she was kind of quirky and cute, and she had glasses, and she was in a showmance with another contestant, as I recall, for most of the season.
Yeah.
And she and Victor got together after the race. And what I remember of Nicole was that she was kind of a quieter competitor. She wasn't really a beast at anything, but she made good relationships and ultimately ended up beating a guy that I think pretty much assumed he was going to win. He's not quite as repugnant as like your Russell Hanses, but he was a strong player who assumed he had it in the bag, and Nicole beat him. And then Victor was a guy who got voted out like 43 times over the course of the season. Like every week they'd vote him out and some new twist and bring him back in. The first one of those was called the Battle Back. It went on for about 3 hours. It was just evicted contestants going head to head to have a chance to get back in the game. And Victor beat everybody, came back in, and then got voted out and came back in. And I don't know how many times it happened, but it seemed like he was not going to win this game because every chance they got, people got rid of him and the show just wouldn't let him die. Then the two of them were friendly over the course of the season. I think Nicole was somewhat intrigued by and repulsed by him, was the sense I got when they showed the two of them talking. And then eventually they reconnected after the show and got together, and they are now dating. And now they are on Team Rob for this season 31 of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, and to give a bit of background as to Nicole's first season, she was on season 18 with Victor, but she came from season 16 where she was a perennial underdog. I believe she was actually in the running for a fan favorite for that season, because when, you know, there was a big alliance that was formed in the first few weeks of the house that Nicole was not a part of. And so when they kept winning power, she consistently found herself clawing her way up from the bottom. She actually, much like Victor, got voted out once before and then made her way back. Across the two seasons that she's on, she won head of household 5 times and 2 power of veto. She also won 2 of these Battle of the Block competitions, which I won't explain too much now, but she was also nominated 8 times. Victor, despite getting voted out, you know, serving as the Aussie loose, essentially, of Big Brother 18, and that he was evicted 3 times, the only house guest to do so, he won HOH 3 times, 1 power of veto, and 3 of those battle back competitions, as you said. Victor also, you know, between sort of being an underdog with consistently getting voted out, and also, I would say he was a pretty affable person. He had a funny personality to him. And as a result, he was voted America's favorite house guest, which I know might have gotten on the nerves of some previous house guests that were in there that had won the award beforehand that thought that they were, you know, it was basically money in the bank right there. Victor has also been on The Challenge after it. He did not do too well. He went out, I think, in like halfway through the season or something. And, you know, I feel like if we're talking about competition, I feel like the challenges might be a bit closer to the Amazing Race than the Big Brother challenges, where the challenges on the challenge are ridiculous, but they definitely do more physical exertion and they're actually like outside in these more wide open environments. So we'll see if the prowess really translates over there. And we also have the factor, and again, this worked in Jessica and Cody's favor, like you said, Jess, but they've only been dating for a little under a year at this point. So we don't know how this relationship will be tested and how they'll react to these types of situations they'll be put in.
I have a weird feeling this is going to be the team that ends up on Team Rob that like all of a sudden is like does really, really well. The Eric and Danielle of the season, and not to put Nicole and Victor in that level, but I don't know. None of us, I mean, you know, the, like Mike as a Big Brother person, I know you don't seem as excited about this team and Jess with your familiarity, but I don't know. This is such a cool cast. I feel like weird stuff is going to happen. And I don't know, maybe this is the team that kind of hangs out for a while.
They have a little bit of Jody upside.
Oh, I can, yes. I can absolutely 100% see them making their way at least, you know, middle of the race, just because they seem, you know, unless they get overwhelmed by, you know, getting by navigation or something, they seem, you know, fairly competent. I do feel like they at least have some athleticism to them, especially from Victor's perspective, that they can make their way through the competitions. And I feel like Nicole has enough strategy as well. I mean, I personally think she played a pretty good game of Big Brother that ended up getting her the win in season 18. Combine that with Victor's just like genuinely infectious laugh and smiley personality from both of them that you feel like, I don't know if they're going to be facing a U-turn board anytime soon, at least the receiving end. So I can see them doing at least pretty well. It's just like you said, Dan, I feel like it's a really good cast overall. And if it's between them and picking Janelle and Brittany, the Big Brother fan in me just screams pick Janelle and Brittany. So that's why I had to unfortunately cast them by the wayside.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to add one more thing about this team that just tickles me. On one of the episodes of Big Brother that summer that had a bunch of clips in it, it might have been the final 3 clip show, there was a montage of Nicole sitting on this one particular couch in the Big Brother house, and over the course of the several weeks, spilling every substance known to man on this couch. And it was such a strange juxtaposition of substances over the course of this montage. And it got more absurd and more hilarious. And I'm thinking, you know, knocking things over is probably not a great skill on The Amazing Race, but she had a great attitude throughout it, I guess, over the course of ruining this poor couch. And I'm sure Big Brother couches have seen a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, and she has that Minnesota accent to her as well. So like every time it happens, she's like, oh, man. Oh, geez. She's got like,
yes,
I know that people might have their own thoughts on her voice, but I find her like, you know, drop dead gorgeous esque Midwestern accent. Very charming. So we'll see how much we get of it on the race.
Oh, I totally forgot that she has one of those voices. Oh, we're going to get lots of tweets about tone policing and whatnot. Yay.
Woo! All right, do you guys want me to take on Rupert here?
Yes, please do. Since you were so plagued to not take Rupert, Dan, please give me your thoughts on Rupert and Laura Bonham.
Okay, so here's the deal. Rupert and Laura, I'll talk about Rupert Survivor in a moment. Rupert and Laura are basically the goofy old couple of The Amazing Race for this season. I mean, that's who they are. You've seen teams on The Amazing Race that have had tie-dye that have usually go out first. That's basically what they are. The problem, of course, is Rupert is a very famous, successful Survivor player.
Well, he won $1 million, Dan.
Yeah. So he first appeared in Survivor of the Pearl Islands, which is a great season, and was a big character. He looked like a pirate, and that was a fun season. There were lots of cool characters. I think he finished like seventh and had a lot of memorable moments. He stole people's shoes and then immediately came back for Survivor All-Stars. And he was one of the people who helped to eliminate a lot of people that we liked in that season and got all the way down to fourth, I believe. And he also tried to build a shelter in a beach and then it rained where everyone would have drowned and died. So we kind of saw more of him that season to realize that, yeah, maybe he's not so great. But after that season, they did a weird thing called America's Tribal Council, where they decided that since, you know, people, they wanted to give $1 million to another player, and it went to Rupert because the fans voted. And so Rupert still won $1 million without winning the game. And then he went back for Survivor Heroes versus Villains. He was on the unfortunate Heroes tribe and made the jury again, but played, you know, he was Rupert. He just kind of did his thing. Finally came back for Survivor Blood versus Water with his wife, Laura, who is playing here. His wife was voted out on the beach before the game really even started, but Rupert put himself in for her. And then they went to Redemption Island, and then he was the first one voted out. So Rupert played Survivor four times, but we only saw him that fourth time for a very short amount of time. And Laura then went on to, I believe, finish about 12th, taking this from memory, and was fine. She wasn't particularly memorable, but, you know, she did okay. So to me, I look at it as, you know, okay, Rupert's back. We've seen him a lot on TV. I know he showed up in like a Survivor in Israel or something, or he's been showing up in other things. He's one of those people that he was everywhere, like you mentioned with Janelle. I'm not super thrilled to see him back. And also he ran for governor of Indiana and got to debate Mike Pence, I believe. So he's had quite a run. And that run recap there was about, I probably missed 100 things. So please fill it in, but I just don't think they're going to do very well, though I think we'll see a lot of them for a couple episodes.
Well, Dan, I think the first thing you missed is that Rupert was almost cast for a previous Amazing Race season. He was a lock for season 28, the social media mogul season.
Because of Rupert's kids.
Yes, because of his incredible prowess as a live tweeter of Survivor. I think something that listeners of the podcast know very well. He has a hilarious Twitter account, and you all should be following it.
Well, he had a hilarious Twitter account. At this point in recording this, he's still locked out of it. So who knows what's going to happen by the time they come back and this season starts. Look, I love Rupert. Survivor Pearl Islands is my favorite season. I love Rupert personally. I don't know if they have a chance. I actually have a theory here that, do you guys remember Anita and Arthur, the married beekeepers from season 13? I'm convinced that that's a time traveling version of Rupert and Laura. They went back in time to say, okay, can we win another season of The Amazing Race? And they go out first. If you look them up, like, people, look it up right now. These are two old people wearing tie-dye shirts. One of them, the guy has a big beard. The woman has long gray hair. It could be a legitimate theory. I can't believe this is actually happening. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, 54 and 49. Rupert has shown some prowess, you know, in the water, but I don't know how much time we're going to be spending fishing. I like Rupert as a personality. I even like when he's demure and like Charlie Brown-esque, that I would love to see how he reacts to certain elements of The Amazing Race. Maybe that's why I'm not tired of seeing him back, to Dan's point, is that we're seeing him in a new environment. And also, do we really count Blood versus Water? He was in like two episodes. I don't know if that actually counts. We'll see what Laura brings as well, whether or not she decides to, you know, tell the other people what the plan is, like she did that got herself voted out of Blood versus Water. But hey, I guess the Survivor Loved Ones was a good warm up to her eventual time on The Amazing Race.
I guess so. I think maybe those of us who came up during the reality TV peak era may still have a little bit of residual Rupert fatigue. And I mean, maybe you don't, Mike, but it's also because you were much younger then and you were not jaded then. And I think if you were jaded at the time you were watching peak Rupert, you can't ever come back from that.
Oh, come on. You don't want a big roar as we step off the plane into every country.
I do want to see Rupert go ballistic if someone U-turns him.
Who the F U-turned me?
Yeah, so much for my dreams.
So how much tie-dye are they going to bring? Is that all they're going to wear on the thing? Do they have like Under Armour tie-dye or something? Wait, I mean, is it going to be comfortable?
Does Rupert just own one shirt or does he own 100 tie-dye shirts?
I think it's the latter, but I mean, you have to assume maybe they're packed for cold weather or something because we know it's winter in some countries at this time of year. But I mean, you'd have to assume that the tie-dye is their thing, right? We've seen teams wear this same color throughout the course of the race. And I feel like the tie-dye has been a Rupert trademark since he showed up with it back in 2003. So you got to stick with the Bonham brand.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have like tie-dyed parkas when they go on the cold weather leg.
Oh, boy. This is going to be fun. Part of me is really intrigued because it's just like the guy doesn't really run. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be like they're going to go out quick. I'm intrigued, but I don't really want to see them for like eight straight weeks.
Look, Dan, if they make it out of the airport, I'm going to be shocked.
Very true. It's going to be, I mean, it's better than some random survivor team from like last season that we don't care about. I mean, at least you've got this kind of sort of tiring character. I mean, he's a big character. He's not going to be boring.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I'm excited for it, because at least he will not be calm. And I feel like no matter how many legs he lasts, that will create for some interesting content no matter what. So we'll try to wring as much 2% cow's milk as we can out of this cow that is Rupert.
Yeah, I just couldn't pick him because it's Rupert. But two, I just don't think they're going to do very well. To me, they look like, you mentioned that the beekeepers, there's like six or seven other teams like them that almost always go out first. There's a one or two exceptions. I don't think it's going to be them with this cast.
Yeah, I mean, prove us wrong, guys. Nothing I like better than being 100% wrong about something and watching a team go all the way that we completely discounted.
Amen.
It happens every season for me. So, you know, I always pick the wrong team. So it'll probably continue.
Yeah, you just threw that curse on Eliza and Corinne, Dan, and I'm never going to forgive you for that.
Yeah.
They're probably already out.
I hope not. Man, I'm excited for them. I love that they're on my team. That's going to be fun.
Yep. Okay, so to recap, and as we go through the teams, if you guys have a hashtag in mind that you want to bestow on your team so that people can keep track if they want to tweet at us of which team they think has the best shot of winning this whole thing. But Team Dan is Eliza and Corinne, Leo and Jamal, and Art and JJ. And Dan, what do you want to call your team?
Oh, boy. You know, my team is so all over the map. It's like I have like a great, fun fan favorite, and then I have Art and JJ.
If they're all over the map, would you call them Globetrotters?
Oh, I think that hashtag's been taken.
What?
I don't want to get confused, you know, with all the Globetrotters hashtags. Give me a minute. Why don't you guys, I'll think of it for a moment. Why don't you all reel off the others?
Well, let's recap everybody's teams and then we can go back and give us hashtags. But Team Jess is Tyler and Corey, Becca and Floyd, and Chris and Brett. And Team Mike, Colin and Christy, Rachel and Alyssa, and Janelle and Brittany. Which leaves Team Rob to be Nicole and Victor and Rupert and Laura.
So I have a possible hashtag for mine. I think I'm going to go with Team BB and CC. BB stands for Big Brother and CC stands for Colin and Christy. And it's such sort of, because I did take two out of the three Big Brother teams. I was the only one to pick Big Brother teams. So I feel like I need to embrace that.
I think that's fair. I noticed that 5 of 6 of your team is moms. So you could have done something with moms as well.
Mike's moms. That could be another one.
I like that. We need to get hats printed up for that. Like when we inevitably start the wand off for the Amazing Race, we'll have Mike's mom's shirts and hats.
Okay. So I have a few options. I'm going to let you guys pick. None of them are very good. None of them are as good as Team Not Six Dudes. So I don't know if I'm ever going to get over that. Last season when I had 5 guys, but I have Team Jinx, because I always jinx them. I have Team Chaos, because there's no rhyme or reason. I have Team Last Place, because I always do terrible. I don't know if any of them really sums it up, though. So I don't know if any of those are worth it here. But
I don't know. You could go with like a Team Soundbite, because I feel like all three of these teams have a propensity to talk.
Yeah, I really wish I really should have picked Chris and Brett, and this that would have been perfect. I think that's okay. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I'm stuck. This is bad. This is not what I was planning at all. I've ruined it.
Well, I think Team Soundbite works fine for you, Dan.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna get good sound bites from all of these people.
That works for me. I'm good.
I'm gonna go with for my team. I think I've got six people that are arguably going to have the best time, but Team Fun is a hashtag that's already been taken as well. But I think these people are also the most likely teams to just kind of remove themselves from the drama, put their heads down and race. So I'm going to call mine Team Just Race.
They're going to say Team Funner.
Team Funnest.
Ooh, yeah. Just make it more superlative. I like that. I like that. And Team Rob will be
Team tie-dye parka, obviously.
Yeah, team tie-dye parka. So, and I'll officially go with Mike's moms. I apologize, Colin, but I feel like I feel like it needs to happen. It's only one thing I can take possession of in this world.
I feel like if I could just remove Art from my team, Team Soundbite would work great. Like, can we pull someone else in? You know, but a 5 out of 6 isn't bad, so I think that'll work.
All right, that sounds great then. So those of you out there in the world who have made it to the end of this nearly 2 hours of breaking down a race that hasn't even actually mostly happened yet, go ahead and tweet at us in the future and let us know which team you think is going to do the best. And you can tweet at me at Haymaker Hattie.
You can tweet at me at a Mike Bloom type. And I have no idea what to plug at this point because we don't know when this is airing, but I'll assume that I would have talked about Survivor South Africa and Big Brother 20 at that point. So be sure to hopefully you would have checked that out at this point.
And I am at the Dan Heaton, and I hope you guys really enjoyed the last season of The Amazing Race Canada, which I hope you watched with a lot of heroes. So enjoy that.
Yeah, at the time of this recording, Dan and I are about to jump in on all of that, and it's going to be a great time. I'm also off in the distant future. I'm going to be covering more Walking Dead and Star Trek Discovery with Rob over at Post Show Recaps, and I'm sure little odds and ends will crop up. I have an exciting Amazing Race project in the works. We'll see how far I get with that at the time that you're listening to this. And of course, that new initiative where they're going to be beaming television entertainment directly into your brains off there in the future, I'm sure we'll have something exciting planned for that as well.
And I will also say, reach out to us, especially when this cast drops, if we try to, again, fill in as many blanks as possible. But for those of you out there who either don't know Amazing Race, don't know Survivor, don't know Big Brother, and want to be like, hey, I want to watch a season of I want to watch this. So what season should I watch, or what season should I start with? I mean, I think I speak on behalf of all three of us that we can give recommendations if you want to, especially from an Amazing Race perspective. If you've never seen it and you want to figure out exactly how it runs, we can definitely recommend some seasons for you. Just reach out and we'll be happy to respond.
Yeah, I would be happy to also recommend individual episodes. If you don't have 13 hours to waste, or if you don't have CBS All Access and you don't feel like pirating 13 hours of television, I think there are probably individual episodes. And in fact, I'm going to ask Mike to recommend one to me right now. After this podcast wraps, if you can look up for me which episode is the Dan Giesling funeral, I've been dying to watch that just so I understand what's so epic about it.
Absolutely. I'll send that to both of you as soon as we sign off here.
That sounds perfect. So I want to thank everybody from somewhere in the distant past for tuning in to this. And we will be coming at you. Mike and Rob and I will be coming at you with regular coverage of The Amazing Race for the entirety of this season, whenever it ends up dropping. And we will hopefully get some additional coverage in there over the course of the season. So I hope we'll hear from you about what you're liking and not liking. I hope we get a lot of new listeners coming in from the various arenas. And we're really excited to cover this whenever it ends up airing. So thank you all again for listening, and we'll see you in the future.